Good morning. I realized that it rained in here in Yucaipa this morning, which we need. So I am happy about that rain. We haven't had a lot of rain this winter, but I also pray that the blessing from the Lord will rain down onto each and every one of us, especially as we hear his message prepared for each and every one of us this morning. I extend warm welcomes to every one of you and pray that we will have a special moment, a personal moment, to have close and intimate fellowship with our Lord as we worship together. Our Town is the name of a Pulitzer Prize-winning play by Thornton Wilder that tells the story of a small town in New Hampshire. It's considered a classic of American drama. Jed Harris, a famed producer in Broadway, directed and produced many plays, including Our Town. Jed Harris became convinced he was losing his hearing, which was critical in his profession. He went to a specialist who gave him a thorough checkup. The doctor pulled out a gold watch and asked, "Can you hear this ticking?" Harris said, "Of course." The specialist walked to the door and held up the watch again. "Now, can you hear it?" Harris concentrated and said, "Yes, I can hear it." The doctor walked out the door into the next room and said, "Can you hear it now?" Harris said, "Yes." The doctor said, "Mr. Harris, there's nothing wrong with your hearing. You just don't listen." Directing and producing shows requires a lot of charisma and control. Harris was not an ordinary producer. In fact, he was notoriously known for self-confidence and often being abusive while directing shows. The doctor was correct when he diagnosed Harris's symptoms of not listening. We can all hear all right, but listening could be an issue. We may think we hear God's word, but do we truly listen to what God says to us and the churches? The Sanhedrin heard Stephen briefly, but covered their ears so that they could not hear him anymore. We will reflect upon Sanhedrin's reaction to Stephen's preaching and see what their reactions may imply to us today. According to Acts 6, Stephen was one of the seven deacons at the Jerusalem church. He was a man full of God's grace and power and performed great wonders and signs among the people. No one could stand up against the wisdom the Spirit gave him when he spoke. He was a brilliant apologist to defend Christian faith. See what Stephen preached to the Sanhedrin. Stephen basically summarized the history of Israel, hitting briefly on great figures from Abraham through Solomon. Then Stephen switched gears and pointed out something that the Sanhedrin did. Sanhedrin did not like to hear. Let me read the last part of Stephen's sermon. Verse 51, "You stiff-necked people, your hearts and ears are still uncircumcised. You are just like your ancestors. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Was there ever a prophet your ancestors did not persecute? They even killed those who predicted the coming of the righteous one, and now you have betrayed and murdered him." Every Jew, including the members of the Sanhedrin, was very familiar with the history Stephen recounted. Their ancestors were stiff-necked people, and it was not new to them either. Stephen's message was very powerful because he appealed to everyone's knowledge that no one could contradict. What was the reaction of the Sanhedrin? They became furious and gnashed their teeth at Stephen. They covered their ears and yelled at the top of their lungs. They all rushed at Stephen, dragged him out of the city, and stoned him. The Sanhedrin was a Jewish judicial court. Politically, Israel was under the Roman rule, but the Romans recognized the Sanhedrin's authority on religious matters. It was why Jesus was in the court of Pontius Pilate, and the Sanhedrin attended it. Pontius Pilate wanted to release Jesus, but the Sanhedrin pressured Pontius Pilate to release Barabbas instead. The crucifixion happened about a year ago, and the Sanhedrin's reaction to Stephen was not a surprise. They were anti-Jesus and anti-followers of Jesus. But what was their reason for this anti-sentiment? The Sanhedrin accused Jesus of blasphemy, saying that Jesus claimed to be the king of the Jews. Jesus was indeed the king, the Christ, but the Sanhedrin opposed the idea. In Pilate's court, they acted very irrationally. Pilate knew that the Sanhedrin was driven by self-interest and Jesus was innocent. Pilate asked the Sanhedrin what crime Jesus committed. They did not and could not bring any accusation, but simply shouted, "Crucify him." Stephen preached that they killed Jesus, the righteous one, now standing at the right hand of God. We see a very similar reaction of the Sanhedrin to Stephen's preaching. The Sanhedrin did not give Stephen a proper trial, but acted worse than non-believers, whose heart and ears were uncircumcised and resist the Holy Spirit. The Sanhedrin's anti-sentiment was groundless, and their senseless behaviors prove it. They covered their ears, not because what Sanhedrin preached was not true, but because they did not want to hear the truth. The Sanhedrin's covering their ears points out unmistakably the human tendency to be selective in hearing the truth. Jesus knew this human tendency so well and used to conclude his teaching with, "Whosoever has ears to hear, let him hear." We see the seriousness of this matter in the letters that Jesus asked John to write at the beginning of the book of Revelation. Jesus dictated to John letters to be sent to the seven churches, and all seven letters were concluded with, "Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches." It is a coherent message of Jesus to all the believers and churches, then and now, to listen to what Jesus says. The Sanhedrin did not want to hear God's truth and stoned Stephen to death and made him the first Christian martyr. But the truth of the gospel lived on. The Sanhedrin vehemently denied Jesus as Christ 2,000 years ago, but Jesus Christ lives today and forever. refusing to hear the truth does not make the truth disappear or make it untrue. Sadly, we still see the same kind of Sanhedrin and the movement of Sanhedrin of closing ears to the truth today. Who and what movement are they? Let me share a couple that we should be aware of. The first one is called religious pluralism, which claims that all religions are different ways to reach God. The funny thing is, if you have studied this comparative religion or familiar with any other religion, no religions claim religious pluralism. No religions. They do not include it in their doctrine either. If people could put all religions together, try to find the commonality, and put them in one common ground, it would be moral or human virtue. They say that the virtuous life here on earth promises a reward in the afterlife. And that's what all the other religions say, commonly, except Christianity. The Bible says nobody is righteous. Human virtue is not good enough. The only way to salvation comes through the forgiveness of sins, through the grace of Jesus. No religions offer or agree with this good news of Jesus. Another popular belief that has been circulating in Christian communities is that the Bible is a collection of myths. So the Bible is no longer applicable to the postmodern day. Those who believe in this become very selective in reading the scriptures. They reject the integrity of the entire scripture, which corresponds perfectly and accurately with the Lordship of Christ. The Bible from the very beginning till the very end, from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation to the very last verse, says Jesus is Christ. That's the one clear message with the integrity. Being selective on the biblical teaching is resulted in the denial of Jesus as Christ, as precisely as the Sanhedrin did. Everyone has ears to hear, but not everyone listens. What does this indicate? Bill Donahue, in his book called Building a Church of Small Groups, tells of a lesson he learned while visiting a farm where two of his students lived. When the student's father, Tom, asked if Bill would help call in the sheep, Bill enthusiastically agreed. Sheep calling was like preaching, he thought, as he watched 25 sheep graze. Go ahead, Tom dared Bill. Call them in. What do you say? Bill asked. I just say, hey sheep, come on in. No sweat, Bill thought. A city kid with a bad back and hay fever could do this. He began speaking, but Tom interrupted. You are 75 yards away, downwind, and they have their backs to you. Yell! Use your diaphragm like they teach you in preaching class. Bill took a deep breath and put every inch of stomach muscle into a yell that revival preachers around the world would envy. Hey, sheep, come on in. the blessed creatures didn't move. Not one even turned an ear. Tom smiled sarcastically. Did they teach you the Bible in that seminary? Have you ever read, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me"? Raising his voice only slightly, Tom said, "Hey, sheep, come on in." All 25 sheep turned and walked toward Tom. "Now, don't you ever forget," Tom said to Bill, "you are the shepherd to my kids." In John chapter 10, Jesus speaks repeatedly, his sheep knows his voice and listen to him. Sheep can tell easily apart the voice of their shepherd. Therefore, not listening to the shepherd means not belonging to the shepherd. Listening to the voice of their shepherd is sheep's clear recognition of who their shepherd is. Psalm 95 says this, "He is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the flock under his care. Today, if only you would hear a voice, do not harden your heart." To the sheep who listens to the voice of Jesus, Jesus, our shepherd, promises protection, guidance, provision, and eternal life. Are we listening to our shepherd? Amen.